Good morning.
Is that good, sister? Okay, if you would take your little programs, we'd like to start with a prayer. It's on the very back. I am in thy hands, O Mary. Mold and fashion this clay which I am. Give it a form and break it again. Thou art its mistress. It may not complain. I am satisfied that it should serve thy purpose, and that nothing in me should be opposed to thy good pleasure. Whether thou dost ask, command, or forbid me, I am ready to obey. What wouldst thou have me do or not do? Whether I be exalted or humiliated, comforted or grieved, able to work for thee or incapable of anything, helpful to all around me or burdensome to everybody, I shall ever love thee and sacrifice my will to thine in all things, saying, my soul is Mary's slave of love. Let all things be done to me according to her good pleasure. That's one of my most favorite prayers. I've used that ever since I was a younger sister. Found it by accident in the back of The Reign of Jesus Through Mary, which is a very beautiful book that explains true devotion to our Blessed Mother in very simple terms. And it's gotten me through many a trial, many a hardship, many a joy, and actually has taught me in many ways how to live my consecration to our Blessed Mother. When I was given the title of this talk, I felt very overwhelmed because the Blessed Virgin Mary, a perfect model of imitation, how can one sound the depths of the beautiful privileges, the beauty of our Blessed Mother? How can you speak of her? I mean, I felt so inadequate, overwhelmed. There's a myriad of books, and I look through a lot of them trying to prepare for this talk, that speak of the devotion to our Blessed Mother, speak of her as our model for imitation. And the more I read, the more I felt, I can't give this talk. There's no way that I can in any way, in my own simple terms, speak of her in a way that she deserves. And so this prayer was comfort to me this morning. Is whether I be exalted or humiliated, whether I completely blow this talk or not, I'm trying it for her. I'm doing it for her. So I thought of going through different phases in the talk, asking our Blessed Mother that I could praise her worthily, asking, first of all, what is Our Lady, what is she to mankind? And then, what is she to you? What is she to me? And then ending with the perfect solution to Jesus through Mary, which is the theme of the conference this year. And I'm going to start with a catechism lesson, and I'm going to see how well you know your catechism. I'm going to ask you some questions, and I don't have a ruler. I know I meet people in the airport oftentimes, and they'll say, oh, do you have a ruler? No. But I do. I'm going to ask two questions. First of all, anyone out can answer me, why did God make you? Brother? And? Right. That's the first one. To show forth his goodness and to share with us his everlasting happiness in heaven. Most of you answered the second question. What must I do to attain the happiness of heaven? No love and serve God in this world. Okay. And when I was teaching primary grades in Colorado, and as a teacher, you oftentimes learn from your students, one of the little girls, I'll never forget, because I always thought this first question, to show forth his goodness and to share with us his everlasting happiness in heaven, I always thought to show forth his goodness was God showing forth his goodness, and used to explain how God was so overflowing with happiness and joy and love that he wanted to share it. But this little girl, her interpretation was, we're on earth to show forth God's goodness. So it kind of puts it on us that we're supposed to take this goodness that God has given to us and show forth it to the world. And I thought, what a beautiful idea. I'd never thought of that answer to the catechism question like that. And this is exactly a perfect description of what Our Lady did. She showed forth God's goodness in her life. Last night, Father compared Our Lady to a bridge, or the bridge that Christ was between God and man. And Our Lady is the golden bridge by which God used. He passes from this bridge to us to bring us salvation to Him. We all know that our first mother, Eve, was tempted by a fallen angel, and through her sin, and Adam's sin, we all shared in her sin, the original sin, and that Our Lady was also spoken to by an angel. And because God had prepared her for her vocation, she was full of grace. He was sanctifying His future tabernacle. And there's a poet, and I'm not sure which one it is, someone will probably know, but there's a poet that calls Our Lady our tainted nature solitary boast. And it's so true, because our nature has been tainted by our first parents. And yet, Our Lady is our boast. She's our solitary boast. She was never tainted. And one of the books I used for reference was speaking about how the angel did not say, "Hail Mary," when he appeared to her. He said, "Hail, full of grace." That her name was even stepped aside, and he was comparing it to if someone excelled in a certain profession, and you were, like, let's say he was a great plumber, and you wouldn't go up to him and say, "Hail, best of all plumbers," you know, but yet he greeted Our Lady, "Hail, full of grace," because that's what she was. And it was such a marvelous thing in the darkness of mankind. Here was this beautiful vessel. So in Mary, we do have the perfect ideal, the model to achieve our end. And she plays an essential role in Christianity. She's not just an ornament, not just something that, you know, yeah, we do the Mary thing. But she is someone that we cannot get to heaven without. We need her. And without her influence, the sanctification of mankind would never happen, or happen sufficiently and effectively. So I looked up in the dictionary the word ideal. I'm very much anyone that's ever been taught by me, especially in the grade school, dictionaries are their friend, and I will say, okay, this word, and I'll just stand there, and then pretty soon, oh, she wants us to look it up in the dictionary. So they look it up in the dictionary, because I think we should know the terms, we should know the words that we're using. So the word ideal has two definitions, more than that, but the two that I picked. First one is a standard of perfection, beauty, or excellence. That's an ideal. Or, looking at it as a person, one regarded as exemplifying an ideal and often taken as a model for imitation. And I'm sure you'll agree, that's our Blessed Mother. Mary acts on us in three ways as our ideal. She acts on our mind by enlightening it. We see a tangible model of what we're supposed to be striving after, what we ought to be. She acts upon our will by stimulating it to action. Because it's the goodness that we see in Mary that pleases us, attracts us, and makes us want to be like her. And then she acts upon, this ideal of Mary acts upon our imagination, our sensibility, because she's so captivating in her purity, in her virtues, that we experience a distaste for anything that's evil, anything that's unseemly. When we love Our Lady, we don't want to be anywhere near that because it would displease her. She was a light while she was on earth, and all through the ages, the fathers of the church, the saints, have held her up as a perfect model for imitation. And if you look at Our Lady's life, everybody can find something to imitate in Our Lady's life, because she is a model for every state of life. She was a virgin. She was a mother. She was a widow. She was an apostle. Every condition of life. Our Lady was poor. Our Lady had to flee. Our Lady, I'm sure, on the way to Egypt, didn't know where the next meal was going to come from. Our Lady was sorrowful. She experienced the loss of her child. She experienced so many things. So every condition of life. Every spiritual state Our Lady experienced. She had the life of prayer, but she also had the active life. She was in education. She taught our Lord, God Himself. Remember, as the first communicant, our teacher told us to, she had us memorize that beautiful poem. I only know a couple lines. It's been many years since my first communion, but Lovely lady dressed in blue, teach me how to pray. God was just your little son, and you know the way. Our Lady taught our Lord how to pray. Isn't that a beautiful thing? So she was an educator, and she was in the apostolate. I often think of Our Lady after the Ascension, when the apostles were like, what do we do now? And Our Lady was the one that helped them, encouraged them. After the crucifixion, who did the apostles go to? Our Lady, I'm sure. Peter, weeping because he had denied his Lord, and Our Lady was his comfort. So she was there. Works, the corporal and spiritual works of mercy, you can see Our Lady doing all of those. And the ordinary ways of day-to-day life and the mystical ways, she's a model in all of those. If you look at the mysteries of the Rosary, they show all this. The joys, the sorrows, the consolations. Look at our seven sorrows of our Blessed Mother. Again, you can see so many things that we've gone through that Our Lady went through also. And I was thinking as I was preparing this talk, how often we pray the Litany of Loreto, the Litany of Our Lady, and go through the different invocations. And I know with myself sometimes it's just very routine, pray for us, pray for us, pray for us, and not really thinking of the beautiful titles. And I was thinking, at the first group, give us who she is, in a sense. Give her, give us an idea of her virtues, like most pure, most chaste, most amiable, most admirable, most prudent, most powerful, most merciful, most faithful. And then you go into the next, which are kind of mystical. They're Old Testament types that prefigured Our Blessed Mother. Tower of David, Tower of Ivory, House of Gold, Ark of the Covenant, Mystical Rose, Morning Star, Gate of Heaven. Those were all symbols of Our Blessed Mother. And then how she helps us. Health of the sick, Seat of Wisdom, Good Counsel, Refuge of Sinners, Comforter of the Afflicted, Help of Christians. So maybe when you pray the Litany next time, you could stop and reflect on some of those things, as it gives us an idea of Our Lady and who she is. And then he ends with all who she's the queen over, queen of angels, queen of patriarchs, queen of prophets, queen of apostles. She's the queen, and she's our mother. As a mother, she's the best educator. You know that mothers are the primary educators of their children. She teaches us by the radiant influence of her example. And a mother knows better than anyone else how to speak to the mind and the heart of her child. And Mary obtains these graces by her all-powerful intercession. She speaks to our mind and our heart. And as we contemplate her, we will learn how to love God and how to love our neighbor. And what mothers do for their children by nature, Our Lady has done and does in the formation of every single saint. She is the one helping to form them. So if we wish to walk in the footsteps of our Lord and imitate him, then we have to give ourselves to our Blessed Mother. We have to model ourselves on her. We must go to Jesus through Mary. And we can't do without her spiritual motherhood. We can't make it on our own. And if we don't have recourse to Our Lady, then our life will be much more difficult. We won't be able to make it, in a sense. So the Rosary should be a prayerful and tender appeal to our Blessed Mother. She should have a prominent place in our lives. And no one better than Our Lady will obtain the grace that you need if you humbly ask it. I think there's somewhere in St. Louis de Montfort's beautiful book, True Devotion to Mary, where he says, heaven and earth could sooner cease to exist than Mary would not listen to a prayer of her child. Amazing. Think of that. Do you think about that when you're discouraged? That heaven and earth would sooner cease to exist than Our Lady won't answer my prayer. She's going to answer it. So St. Louis de Montfort in his True Devotion says that devotion to Our Lady is a short way, a perfect way, a secure way, an easy way of attaining union with our Lord. He speaks of the providential function that Our Lady would have in the latter days. Mother Mary Potter in The Path of Mary talks about how the church mirrors the life of our Lord and how she felt that was nearing the crucifixion, and how the bishop brought this up, I think, in his talk this morning, how who were the faithful ones at the foot of the cross? They were the ones that were in company with our Blessed Mother. And truly, the times we're living in are so dark. We've seen our church, in a sense, crucified by the modern church. And to persevere, we need to have this devotion to our Blessed Mother. And this is a part that I put in my talk that I'm not sure if it actually fits in or not. I think it does, but you can tell me afterwards if it was way off. But I was thinking about the times we live in, the challenging times we live in. And there's an awful, horrible attack on womanhood. And it was through a woman, Eve, that mankind, through Eve to Adam, mankind was ruined. So Eve proves how great an influence a woman has. And a woman can be a cause of evil, but she can also be a cause of good. And the author that I was using, he compares woman to a large river. And how a river, if it's not in control, it can overflow and it can do destructive damage. But if it's in its proper control and it's channeled, it can be a source of energy, it can be a source of electricity, it can be a source of light and power. And this is what we need to do. And this is what woman can do. The greatest of all women, it was our Blessed Mother. She opened for us a new horizon, and she showed what women can do. And through the mystery of the Incarnation, the whole dignity of woman was raised to a different level, because in paganism, woman was nothing but a little bit higher than an animal, but not very high. And you go back to the Garden of Eden, that the enmity that was there between the woman and the serpent, and the devil knows the influence of a woman. I think there's the quote that says, behind every good man, there's a good woman, and that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. The woman has a great influence. And you think about the attack that's been on our Blessed Mother, which led to the total downfall of womanhood in the last several centuries. Started with the Protestant revolt. Think about it. What was one of the things that they attacked? Was our Blessed Mother, her role. I'll never forget one day we were begging flowers for Our Lady for a maid procession. We went to this one home, and this lady, we asked if we could have some of her flowers in her yard, and she says, what is it for? And I said, well, we're having a procession in honor of Our Lady. She says, not for that woman. She's no good, no better than any of us. And I was so horrified that someone could think about Our Lady like that. But this is what Protestants have done. Protestantism has done, is lowered Our Lady. So if she's not held as a model, guess what? Women don't know what they're supposed to be striving for. And then you have the French Revolution that came shortly after that, where they put the goddess of reason in the niche where Our Lady belonged, in Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. And womanhood again was downgraded. And then when I was first a nun in 1968, I went to Bartelsel, Illinois to work with Father Kunkel, Father Bernard Kunkel, who founded the Mary Light Crusade for Christian Modesty. And there he had a lot of research. It was beautiful, the things that he was trying to do, promoting Christian modesty. But there was a general congress in the 1900s in Paris where they had this whole plan where they were going to pull down womanhood. And it was saying that Christianity was the greatest historical disaster. They wanted to abolish the confessional. Have they? And all other forms of Christian teaching. They wanted to promote through propaganda that daughters who remain home, wives who remain with their husbands, are miserable slaves. They're nothing more than lay nuns. That the life of Mary, the imitation of Mary, stultifies a personality. This was all planned. Women, they were going to encourage women to join lodges, to become imbued with that spirit, to transmit it to their families. They advocated prostitution, divorce, free love, adultery, social revolution, secular schools, equality for females in every kind of work performed by men. And then there was a magazine called The French Woman that actually had a definite, ordered plan to introduce immodesty, starting with raising the hemlines and raising the arms, and went all through it. And at that time, there was a counterattack, just like after the Protestant revolt, there was a counterattack from the Catholic Church. Pius X blessed a Catholic feminist movement, trying to put it in force against what was coming, and systematically to oppose things and to have a well-defined program insisting from the very start where woman's role was supposed to be. And then you have Our Lady of Fatima, 1917. What were some of her warnings? Certain fashions would be introduced that would gravely offend my divine son. More souls go to hell because of the sins of flesh than any other sin. And she also held up what? The rosary. What we see in the rosary, the imitation of our Blessed Mother, what her role was. Consecration to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. What we need to do. And one of my students just smiled at me. That was nice. And modesty. She did mention modesty. And then Pius XII, I was amazed when I used to give talks to altar societies how many beautiful things he said on womanhood. And he has many writings, and he addressed the needs of women in today's times. And he called Our Lady the sublimest model of Christian womanhood. And so how can we apply all this? I think, first of all, women, young ladies in the audience, to take our Blessed Mother as your model and to strive to imitate her. Pray, study her life and her virtues. She is the greatest model. I put this Maria up there as a little acronym. Mary always reflected in all. So if you can think of that, I want to reflect Our Lady in all things. But the influence of Our Lady is not limited to just women. Men, you have a great obligation to have a devotion to our Blessed Mother also. Contemplating her greatness, you will understand the dignity of woman. And I think it's up to you to try to promote that dignity, fathers, to your wives, your young men, to teach them how to respect womanhood. Recognize that Our Lady does help to develop these sentiments, the sentiments of purity, piety. There have been saints, I remember, I forget which saint it was, but he used to go visit a picture of Our Lady every day, and his fellow students were asking him, where do you go? And he says, I'm going to visit my girlfriend. And it was Our Lady, but he found his source of strength and love in her. So young man, as you go out, whatever field of work you're going to go out, wherever, when you start dating, when you start looking for a wife, try to promote that. Ask our Blessed Mother to help you. But a woman will flourish if she's treated with dignity and respect. She will become what you want her to be. I think the modern day world has dragged women down so much that they don't even know where they belong. I think the rise in homosexuality and all these different things, abortion, they're all stemmed from this, that Mary was cast out. And women don't have that model anymore to imitate. I think young men and fathers and men to compliment a woman when you see her dress modestly, to encourage your daughters to dress modestly, encourage the young ladies that you're going to be dating. Tell them, this is what I'd like to see. They want to do it. They say a man's fulfillment is in his work and a woman's fulfillment is in her relationships. And so she will rise to the standard that you want it to be if you help her. And in this day and age, it's very difficult. It was hard for me when I was growing up, and that's a long time ago, and it's much harder now. So how can we do this? How can we bring Our Lady into the picture? I was thinking, talk to our Blessed Mother. Have a friendly chat with her. Think of her. Speak to her. Make her a part of you. There's a beautiful book that was written, I'm not sure how many years ago, but it's called Mary Was Her Life, and it's about Teresita Quevedo, who actually made our Blessed Mother her life. She was a wonderful young Spanish girl who took Mary with her everywhere, and she can be. And if she's not a part of it, if you can't think of Our Lady being there, then you don't need to be there either. So think of Our Lady as being in the presence of one we love. You know, as people... I've seen this before when people have been married for a long time. Sometimes they start resembling each other. You know, their mannerisms start becoming the same. Well, you can have that happen with our Blessed Mother if you make her part of your life always. We'll pick up her ways imperceptibly. Love begets love. You don't need an appointment to talk to our Blessed Mother. There's no time limit. You can talk to her as much as you want. There's no red tape. You have a direct line to her, and you can be all alone with her. Perfection isn't achieved by doing a bunch of extraordinary things. It's achieved by doing the ordinary things. And our Blessed Mother is the best example of that. And it's a consoling thought that she cares, that she really does care about us. So let the consciousness of Mary saturate our lives. Then your speech, your actions will have a touch of Mary in them. Before I close, two things. Fiat. That was what Our Lady said. You young people that sang today, beautiful, Dixit Mariae, fiat, Niki. That's That's what our life should be. And it's another acronym, forever in all things. Let's make Our Lady's fiat ours. And the last thing I wanted to read to you, a poem, is called Mary Likeness. And it was something that I discovered when I worked with Father Kunkel. And he used to have it actually sung after benediction. But I wanted to close with this because I think it's the beautiful summary of everything I've been trying to say. Mary like in soul and body, Mary like in mind and heart, Mary like in every action, child of God, how fair thou art. Fair to Christ and all his angels, fair to earth since thou art seen, to be like her, like Mary, earth and heaven's fairest queen. Mary like in soul, what beauty, when thy soul is full of grace, what a merry smile will greet thee when thou meet her face to face. Mary like in body keeping, all the senses in control, looks and bearing both revealing, a merry temple for thy soul. Mary like in mind and memory, sinful thoughts and fancies flee, idle dreams and selfish musings find no place, fair child, in thee. For the merry mind is lifted from all sordid thoughts to live on the high and noble promptings that a merry soul would give. Mary like in thy affections, loving all, excluding none, loving as you think Our Lady ever faithful would have done. Mary like in every action, in enjoyment, work, or prayer, watching Mary, copying Mary, loving Mary everywhere. Mayest thou catch her gentle manner and her calm and queenly ways. Mayest thou learn her art of bearing, words of censure or of praise. Mayest thou learn the hidden secret of her smile, so kind, so true, which reflects the radiant beauty of her pure soul gleaming through. In a word, may all the greatness, all the sweetness of her ways, all the inner grace and beauty, heaven and earth delight to praise. Find their likeness in thine own soul, child of Mary, as thou art, making thee more like thy mother, ever dearer to her heart. Night and day in joy and sorrow, night and day neath crushing care, ask of Christ true Mary likeness. Through the year be this thy prayer. Christ will hear and Christ will answer, if thy pleading but ring true. Jesus, make me just like Mary. Mary, make me just like you.